This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Wedding Central. You're with myself, Ntombi Ndlapho.
And myself, Carly De Villiers. And today we are talking with some fabulous photographers. We've got Chanel from Photo Chanel. Hello, Chanel.
Hi, guys.
Nice to have you here. And then we've got Patrick Furta, the photographer. Hello, Patrick.
How are you?
Fine. Nice to have you. And we've got Michael Tree from Michael Tree Photography.
Good afternoon.
Fabulous.
Awesome. So glad to have you guys in studio. And I think we were just really excited about having three very different photographers in studio so that we can... Students, I'm thinking of teaching. But we really did want to educate people on, you know, differences and what to consider when booking a photographer for your wedding. So just to start off, and we'll do ladies first. Chanel, tell us a little bit about your company, how long you've been in business, and kind of what your approach is to wedding photography.
Okay, perfect. I'm actually quite new in the wedding photography section by myself, but I've been working with my husband, who's a very well-known photographer in the wedding industry.
You can drop names. You can drop names because he is family.
No, he said I should not mention his name.
Okay, fine.
No.
But I think Patrick might just drop that name.
It will probably come out at some point. But anyway, so I loved working with him, and we split up a little bit, and because we do differ a little bit, but we wanted to spend some more time with our kids as well. Mm. So I've been doing it for about a year by myself for wedding sections, but with him, I've probably shot about 250 weddings with him before. So I'm quite experienced, but not under my own name.
Sure.
So I don't want to use his images for my own.
Right.
And you
do
quite a bit of maternity shoots and baby shoots. Is that correct?
I actually stopped that completely.
Oh, really?
Because I'm too busy with the weddings now.
Okay,
and like I said, I want to spend some time
with
my
kids.
With your
kids, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Patrick, the photographer, tell us a little bit about your business and yourself and your approach to photography.
Yeah, so I think I'm one of the older guys doing this. not just in age, I would say, but been doing it roughly 25, 27 years on my own. Started off when weddings was really, really small, and people in the ladies in the congregation used to make the snacks for reception. And you know, you could do a morning wedding and an afternoon wedding and be home by 5.
Wow, so you've already seen the change in the industry.
Yes, sure. Now it's different. The way I see, I'd like to think I'm very professional when I work, but when I have as much fun as I can, because it's every weekend and you miss out on all the brides and you miss out on the sports and stuff. But yeah.
But now we have PVR, so you can catch up on it.
Yeah, but
it's not the same. My husband always says, why can't we just record soccer? He's just like, it's not the same at all.
Yeah. The thing at weddings is there's always this guy who gives you the score.
Oh.
And so no matter how much you tape, you'll always know before you go back home. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
And I just want to say one more thing if I'm allowed.
Go.
My wife always say, I must say this, that everything I say or things that I say, it's just my opinion. It's nobody else's opinion.
Sure.
And take it like that.
We take it lightly.
Yeah.
And lastly, I just want to say, I'm so happy that Christian David sent the better looking part of the business.
Michael Tree, on to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your approach maybe to wedding photography.
Well, nobody actually knows I was a gynecologist before I got into
photography.
You're joking.
Yes, certainly.
I thought you worked at a bank.
This makes sense.
I nearly want to fall off my chair.
No, you lie. No, I actually, I don't even know if he's serious. Is this like what?
Yeah, are you being recording? Yeah, I'm teasing you.
No, thank goodness
it's recording.
Like, what's happening?
I found it rather boring.
You better start looking for another job, because.
No.
Yes.
No good. I was in banking for many, many years, and then eventually I left in about 2010. You know, I think my corporate world sort of slowly went down with me, and I had to make a choice, and then I left in 2010 and became a full-time photographer. We're doing it now for a good 15, 16 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, a little less than 2 decades, like Patrick here. But, and my approach has been very simple, natural, easygoing, and pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Mm. Let's get into it now. What do you think are misconceptions or perhaps maybe the biggest mistake that brides think when they are booking a wedding photographer, or maybe a mistake that they make when booking a wedding photographer?
Well, Patrick's experience, let's head over to you.
No pressure.
Okay, this is my opinion. I think one of the biggest downfalls, I actually love it in a way because I get to do a lot of reshoots after from other photographers that could not do what they were supposed to do. Yeah. And I think the biggest downfall is brides relying totally on social media. And that's the beginning and end all. They don't have the time or want to because they look at a Facebook page or a Instagram page or whatever you want to call it. And then on that would decide this is good. Mm, where I would say a one-on-one, it'll take you hour, 45 minutes. A one-on-one, go through the effort because it's a lot of money. And it's all you'll have. Mm. I mean, it's the one thing I always say. We don't want to say, because it sounds like you're marketing photography in a special way. It's all you'll have.
Yeah,
it is.
But it
is
all you'll have. And to put that on a quick, you know, apples are will be apples, and it's not like that. And it's an art in a way.
Chanel?
Yes. The one thing that I've heard the most when I do expos and stuff, when a previous bride is coming with a friend to the stand, the one thing that they say that the mostly that they say is that they're extremely disappointed with their own photographer. And when you start talking about it, you would hear that sometimes they wanted to do a little bit more, like they spend a lot of money somewhere else on their wedding, so they keep the least amount for the photographer, but then they don't. Then I don't get an experienced photographer. So then that fits into their budget, but this person has never used a flash, so everything is extremely blurry. You can't even see anything in the evening. Either it looks like everything's on fire because the white balance is like,
yeah,
like 5,000 Kelvin in the evening, which you guys don't understand.
Yeah,
but it's
it
will all be orange. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is, like, if it's a beautiful summer's day, any photographer will do great because the weather is awesome. But if it's raining or if something, if the couple is extremely late because for whatever reason and people can't work under pressure, you know, these things are things that the photographer control. And if you're inexperienced, you don't know how to do it. And at the end, you'll have a terrible of your wedding. So, you know, the images won't be there.
Yeah, 100%.
Michael?
In my case, I've seen word of mouth works really in my favor. It's very important to get a good word of mouth, a good approach from couples. And obviously, you need an extensive portfolio on your website. And I mean, I know it's not always possible to put all the several hundreds of photographs on one's website, but if you have at least a good 25, 30 weddings that people can actually go through. And I know not everybody has the time to do it, but if you look at what you're paying today, it's pretty important, I think, to really go through, meet several photographers, try and understand their style, try and understand their emotions and the way they are.
I always say to clients when they're looking for photographers, they've got to obviously like their style. They've got to meet with that that photographer and have a bit of a connection with the photographer. Otherwise, you know, I think you spend, how many hours do you spend with that bride on an average day, guys?
Yeah, I mean, you're spending everywhere from 8 to 10 hours. I mean, that bride spends most of a day with you, the photographer.
Yeah. So if you find that photographer creepy, or, you know, that's definitely not the photographer for you, because you're not going to feel the connection.
Yeah. I heard you mention styles. What would you say, like, I'm a bride, I don't know, you know, chalk from cheese. What styles are there out there? Is it like, are there specific things that I can see that will say to me, oh, okay, this is this kind of style? Or like, what styles are there in the photography world? Anyone? Oh, not all at once,
Well, you know what, photography is very much your own opinion. Like, you can find so many different photographers. There's a lot of women photographers who like very white kind of photography, which is also quite beautiful.
What does that mean, white photography?
It's like everything is...
It's like blown out, isn't it?
Not blown out, but like Christine Mankes shoots like that. Jose Villa in America shoots mm-hmm. like that. So it's very beautiful, very clean, and very pastel-y.
Maybe it's got like kind of angelic feel.
Yes. Yeah, I always say it's like, it looks like a dream almost.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But you get, there's plenty of people who love that. But my style specifically is very dramatic and romantic mm. and a little bit more sexy and a little bit mm. darker. And I do get a lot of brides that they will ask me, can I shoot a little bit whiter? And then I tell them, you know, there's maybe one or two shots that I can do that, but it's not, I don't shoot like that. Mm. So that's why you have to book somebody that shoots like that if you mm. want that. Mm. You know, you should rather, yeah, Patrick will probably just,
yeah.
We need to have a video in this.
I think you guys are picking on me. No, I think, firstly, to find your stylist, to just go on the web mm. and have a look at things that appeal to you. Mm. I would say, you know, if you're really experienced, you've got a like in what you can do. Mm-hmm. But it's the same with if you're a florist or a dressmaker. If someone comes to you and say, I really love what you do, but could we? The person who taught me everything in photography said to me, you never tell a person no. Mm, mm. A client, you never say no. Mm-hmm. You just say yes and you do what you do. Because if they book you, they love what you do.
Yeah.
But you can adapt a couple of shots, like you said, or you can do things. A lot of what people do is in post, yes. if I can call it like right. that. They all use more or less the same cameras and shoot on the same day, on the same venue. It's just how you treat the images afterwards. And that's where a lot of the style nowadays come in.
Okay.
So, but I mean, it is, there are so many photographers out there. You will find someone that will be able to do in a style that you like.
Yeah, 100%.
And how far in advance generally should a client or a bride or a couple book you? Because I think, and Tommy and I had this discussion yesterday, a lot of South African clients are actually booking their photographers first. Yes, it'll be between the venue and the photographer, mm. but sometimes they've been following this particular photographer for a very long time, yeah. and when they do have that, take that step of being engaged, they want to find out if the photographer that they like is available. So what is your average?
Yeah. I mean, I've had to even mention at the Lobola negotiations that they're not setting the date. I need to check with the photographer that I want before we start talking dates yeah. and things. Yeah.
I'd say, I mean, in my experience, I've seen 9 to 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, as the market has got quite saturated with photographers, I've mm. seen now between 6 and 9 months. Mm. Now, because there's so much more opportunity or more choice for a bride nowadays. But generally, the norm is anywhere from 9 to 12 months for me.
I just personally think how seriously do you want this person mm. if there's only one of him? Mm. You know, we said everybody, all the brides, and I mean this with the greatest respect, sit and they do you a favor when they decide to book you mm. because thank you, you're good enough to do our wedding. But I think on the other hand, the amount of inquiries that we cannot handle mm. because people want to use you. Mm. People just need to keep that in mind. It's the saddest thing to spend an hour with someone and say, think about it, talk about it, let me know as soon as possible. And they come back 3 weeks later, very, very excited, and you say, no, I saw two other couples for the same date, which would be like somewhere in September next year.
Yeah.
Because it's a popular date, 24th of September, I think, next year already.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I already booked someone, and they're devastated. So they have to start all over.
The process all over again. Tell me about... Oh, sorry, Chanel.
No, the only thing I wanted to mention is the only time that really becomes an issue is the very popular months to get married. Yeah. So that's February, March, and then September to November usually. Mm. So September is extremely busy, obviously, because it's spring and it's beautiful. Mm. So if you're getting married in those months, I would say make sure you get that ASAP.
Yeah, and also what I generally recommend to clients as well, if they've found a photographer that they like and then, no, Patrick is booked, then it would be rather speak to Patrick and see who he would recommend that has a very similar style. And I know you guys all tend to refer business to each other. I think that's your best bet as a couple. If your photographer is not available anymore, chat to the guy that you actually like and see who he would recommend in that sense.
Now, everyone's talking about this meeting. I'm a bride. I've now set up my meeting with you. What information do you want from me, like, at this meeting? What should I come prepared with in terms of information you would want to know to make your job easier, perhaps, on the day or whatever? What information do I come with on the to this meeting?
A bucket full.
Really?
No, generally, I mean, if couples don't have a wedding planner, you as the photographer end up planning the wedding.
Because
really, the critical thing is timing. That is really the most important for most photographers, because we really build the hour. I don't think people actually understand that or appreciate it. So your timing is quite critical throughout the whole day, and that's really planning everything from your makeup, your dress rehearsal, your couple session, your church service, right through to the reception time. So if they don't understand how the wedding day actually works, you plan it with them, and it's a great benefit to them as well, obviously.
When we were having meetings for styling and flowers, I always say, have you double checked that your timing is right with your photographer? And obviously we've got the app on our phone in terms of
sunset
times. The golden hour, or a lot of one big thing that clients also come to us with is, why do we have to have so long between the ceremony and the reception? That's such a big...
I think it's
a big thing.
Question.
They don't want the guests to be standing for 2 hours. From photographer's perspective, why and how long do you have to...
I think the actual question should be, how do I choose when my wedding should start? Because I think, babe, you guys have even experienced, especially with African clients, we tend to want to start the day so much earlier. And they don't realize that it's not a practical time to shoot. And even with your makeup artist, you have to book them to stay the whole day, because chances are you're going to shoot 6-7 hours after you've started your function. How do I set, what am I looking for when I'm setting my time?
I think it's one of the most important things to chat to your photographer about. Firstly, as to line up your suppliers. By that I mean professional hair, makeup, because everyone that arrives at the wedding, they want to give you the best of who they are and what they do, and sometimes without respect to the others. You will grant them an hour to do hair or makeup. I don't know how long, if that's enough, but they will then take 2.5-3 hours. Disregard your respect. Yeah, and so that to me is important. I'm a big fan, but that will be another discussion about doing wedding photographs before the actual service.
Okay. And then the couple shoot.
The couple shoot. Today, everyone wants to, no one is traditional anymore, and everyone wants to do things different. But when it comes to walking down the aisle, they want to be traditional.
Yes.
To see the face. But now, I did a wedding a few days ago. It was a Chinese wedding. Mm-mm. I could not see the couple come down the aisle until she appeared right about a meter before me. So many iPads and iPhones and all these. And so the moment's ruined anyway. And
I once had a wedding where the pastor actually stopped the service and said, okay, now, all the people with their phones and their cameras, now's the time to take photos. It was hilarious because it was a Chinese wedding.
We've seen abroad, I mean, it's now called an unplugged wedding. So they're actually sending out, telling their guests, no photos. Especially during the church service. It's critical. You know,
100%.
Because you just don't get to actually perform the way you should perform. But I must admit, with all these new cameras and guests getting in our way, we're finding new angles. Much more interesting shots.
Because you're forced to now angle yourself
exactly,
in a way that's
100%.
I mean, Chanel, I can imagine your height.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Michael, almost near the ceiling.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. I can't really exactly crawl underneath someone's leg and get a shot. So Michael is quite taller than me. I actually sometimes do take a little ladder with me because I am really short, and I can't really shoot in high heels either. So I need to, And Andre was saying to me, Andre from Andre M, he was, I'm like, you guys are so lucky, you're so tall, you can always just get the shot. And I'm like, oh, I never even thought about that.
I mean, I see him tower over traditional weddings, like crowds even, and he's just there, like shooting hoops. It's hilarious. You were saying, Patrick?
As I was saying, because you're so short, now I understand your style as well. It's really a. I'm joking. I think the biggest question people should ask coming to photography is, how important is it? Mm. If it's not, don't worry. Don't book someone good. Don't book someone with experience. Don't allocate a lot of time for photography. Just get on with it. You'll get your images eventually after the wedding, and if everyone's happy. But if it's something that you feel you want to phone the photographer while you're in the Seychelles on honeymoon or Phuket or wherever, you obviously know it's important. And then sit down and discuss and come to a happy midway. Because all the professionals, real professionals, they do understand that it's not just a shoot on the day. It's an actual wedding, and they're just capturing moments. And you allocate them, or you guys discuss a time to do proper images and photographs. So that's a big thing to decide how you want to do that and spend what time on that. But if I can say one thing, if you can't do it in an hour, hour and a half, hour 15, 5 hours won't be enough.
Yeah, 100%. But you still have an
after the ceremony.
Yeah, because you sometimes hear the people get in a car and then 3 hours later, you know, the guests start sitting in the car or leaving or so because the couple is not back.
Yeah.
I think bad planning. I totally blame the photographer, because even if the bride said that that is what she wants to do, you should have sort of sat and said, let's do another day, a day after shoot, or let's do it before, because you can't have that. And, you know, it's just unacceptable.
It really is. It still hasn't answered my question, right? How do I figure out what time my ceremony should start?
Well,
I mean, I know, but as a bride who's listening, I don't know anything, and I say to on my invitations, it goes out and says we're going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Well, usually we start from the sunset time because we like to shoot the last hour of the day, like you guys know, for a golden hour, the couple shoot. Because the light is just so much more softer, a little bit more romantic looking. You can actually shoot...
Your skin looks better.
And that's actually quite true, because if you've got a little bit bad skin, if you shoot from the side, you will see it more. So, yeah, there's some tricks to hide everything. So if we get a little bit more technical again. But anyway, so after the ceremony, usually I need about, I don't know about other people, but I need about an hour and a half to get everything. That's if we're not driving somewhere. If we drive somewhere, I need a little bit more time. But so it's usually about 20 minutes for family, 20 minutes for entourage shots. And in 45 minutes to an hour, if I'm lucky with a couple, that'll be really good.
Let's talk about the family photos, because that always is quite a hectic thing. From a bride or a couple's perspective, what do they need to get in place to help you as photographers make that process go a little bit quicker?
I'm just going to go ahead because the thing is in front of my mouth. But we always we say that to keep the closest family first. So mothers and fathers, grandmas and grandpas, brothers and sisters and their spouses. But always, if there's a really important aunt or whatever, you can always bring them along. If you want more than that, somebody else needs to can kind of control that and have the people ready there and then call people as you go along. But don't give me the list, because I don't know what your family looks like.
And don't give your planner the list either, because you don't know your family either.
I don't know who Auntie so-and-so is.
And do you normally shoot that right after ceremony?
Yeah, it's generally the norm. I mean, it's probably the easiest time. But what I'm doing lately is that you obviously photograph the parents before the bride actually walks down the aisle, you know, the mom and dad shot. So that's really out of the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Chanel said, that list is very important. So make a comprehensive list and hand it over to a family member who knows the family very well and calls them out.
Yeah.
You know, they should have a good command of the English language.
Yeah.
Okay, go, Patrick.
That is why we're so different. I say, please don't give me a list, because
I was just going to say, sometimes you get these lists of lists.
To me, I have two meetings. I have the first meeting where we meet up and you decide if you like me or not. I'm very likable. Please take note. Then the second meeting, we'll sit down and we'll start discussing more specific things. And one of them is the family, because I don't know anybody. And nowadays, you can't presume there's moms and dads and everyone's happy and want to be on the same pick. So I always sit down and say, okay,
family dynamic.
Who do you have? And you would say, I've got a mom. And I said, okay, dad. Yes, dad. I would say, are they happy? Do they want to be on same photo? And then you start working from there and people start getting the gist of it. So I make a little note, say, mom and dad, little stripe or plus if they're happy or not. And then you ask about the brothers and sisters and the add-ons. And if there's no ring in my, like a fiance, you're just a boyfriend, you're a wannabe because there's no ring yet.
It's very
important to know this because sometimes I sit down and people would say, don't include this person because it's a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend or something. Yes. But I always say, now with digital, put them in because I did a wedding and just
can
quick.
Can you just take them out?
Yeah, you can, but they don't have to put them in the album. But what happened to me, and I did the wedding the other day, not 4 months ago, 7 years ago I did a wedding and there was a wannabe. It was actually just the dance partner for the night because he could dance. And when I did the family photographs, they said, no, he's just here for the social side. And I said, just put him in. One never knows. And I did their wedding 7 years ago, 4 months ago. And they met at the actual wedding. So don't ever be the one to be blamed to say he said
you can't have me.
Michael, I know we've done a wedding where there was a bit of issues between the couple and you didn't know about it. And you said, why don't you like make as if you are. I'll never forget that. I remember you saying to me. Yeah, but I think brides must actually tell their photographers if there are any family issues so that the photographer doesn't say, well, why don't you give your wife a hug and actually is not your wife. Or they're getting separated.
Yeah, in the process. But what about, I mean, African families are extensive. I know, and I'm sorry. but, I mean, we usually have very, very big families. And I find a lot of my clients, it's so important for them to take photos with almost everybody who's at the wedding. How do you approach that? How do you guide your clients kind of out of that kind of situation? Like, what's a realistic expectation of how many photos I can actually really get with my family? What arrangements can I make with my family so that nobody feels offended? Because I know for African people, you know, Auntie Mang Mang and so and so, like, everybody must be part. Like, what can you help me out
with? That's why you have a group shot, isn't it?
I've kind of just done immediate family. And to keep everybody happy, basically, you just let them know that you're going to go through at reception and just walk around table to table and just keep family that way. Yeah. Mm. So that way they don't bother you. They don't give the bride or the couple quite a hard time.
They get exactly.
given an opportunity and they feel good and welcome at the same point in time. And then you get everybody's family images in that manner. But immediate family is always critical. But you're always going to get the onlookers who are going to come by and jump in and they want to snap here and there. It's just part of the culture. And it's a lot of fun as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can always... sometimes when they do that, you can actually just set it up and people, it's like at Indian weddings where everybody just comes in and takes a photo with it. You know, all the guests stand in a line. You can always just do that if they want to do it again.
Okay, now that's it. Traditional weddings. So African traditional weddings, because there is really a difference between like an African wedding, like at home, because also the timing, we don't really have a proper time. I mean, with the weddings that I've planned, there is some kind of a guideline of time. But generally, there's nothing that's set in. We kind of just have to go with the flow on the day. What is kind of your word of advice or what is to keep in mind? Tell us about shooting traditional weddings. Or maybe what should I look for if I'm trying to book a photographer to shoot particularly my traditional wedding?
Firstly, I would like to say the most fun weddings you can be at is a traditional wedding.
Oh, for sure.
You rock up and you go. Whatever happens in between, you shoot with your camera. So and what is fun is when you arrive and you get a time scheduled to be at the house of the mother at, say, 9 in the morning, and nothing will happen until 12. Mm. So you will be taking photographs of the ladies making the food, all the traditional singing, dancing, getting together, drinking of the local substance.
Substance.
but it is really nice, and what I love about most fun weddings you will ever be are those. Everyone is happy, and half the people don't know who the bride is.
100%.
Or the groom is. They just rock up, free food, free drinks, and have a good time. And And it is so much fun. And I've done weddings all over the country, traditional weddings in the funniest of places.
Yeah. And the homelands, the rurals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you see, it goes all over the show. But what am I looking for somebody who can, like if I'm looking for a traditional photographer now for my wedding, what are things particularly that I need to perhaps make this person aware of, or what are things that I need to look for in terms of maybe this person's portfolio? Because it is so different and so much could possibly be happening at the same time, it's very possible that somebody books the wrong kind of photographer and you lose out on certain elements.
I think the important part is to be calm on the day. I mean, with a lot of traditional weddings that we've done, they are very long hours.
Yes.
You've got to take it easy. You've got to be nice. You've got to adapt to your whole environment throughout the day. Mm. And sometimes actually enjoy them because they're not strict to time, which means you've got a lot more freedom to photograph.
Mm.
You do a lot more photojournalism, a lot more happy moments.
Yes.
But the critical part still remains the couple shoot, because often the ceremonies go on to 5, 6, 7 in the evening. You know, this can happen, and you lose the golden light. So you've got to make your couple aware of that. What happens in between is fine. But when it comes to the physical couple shoot, it is pretty important that we get that type of lighting. But bear in mind, if you don't, you know, most photographers carry mobile studios with them, like myself, continuous lighting, so then you can do a night shoot for about an hour under a hotel environment, depending where you are, and that just saves the day as well. So you've got to adapt to everything on the day.
Okay.
And I think the photographer's also got to be prepared for change, because I know, like, from my side, sometimes I bring some of the students on when we're doing the setups for African weddings, and things are changing, there's more guests arriving, and they're like, how do you handle this? And I've had some people say, I would never be able to handle a traditional wedding. So, you know, I'm sure you have it in the same sense. So you have to be able to deal with change. Some people are very schedule-orientated, but I think with a traditional wedding, that just goes completely out the
window. Yeah, I always say, I even call it a guideline. So the guideline of today is...
It's not a schedule.
There's no schedules, because schedules, like, almost frustrate them. You just say, the guideline, round about 4, round about 10, we'll start, or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Chanel?
Yeah.
No, my rule of thumb is I just take everything that I own with, because I'm probably going to use it
everything.
All. Everything. Like, expect the unexpected. So yeah. Just be prepared.
Yeah, Scotty. I heard earlier on we mentioned something about, like, post-shoots. What would be the reason why I would do a post-shoot versus not just shooting everything on the day? And, okay, let's start with post-shoot. Let me not double up on questions, sorry.
If I may, I just want to go back to your previous question.
Sure.
You wanting to know, how do I book a guy or a girl, lady, for a traditional wedding? You have to do a bit more research and find someone experienced who's done that. And and nowadays it's easy. You will be able to find 3 or 4 photographers, mail them and say, please send me your latest traditional wedding.
Mm.
And it ties in with the other question about how do you book a photographer. And I would say you can go on the web and everywhere, but I would say to a couple, if you're not sure, give me any date of the year, give me your venue. And in the last 3, 4, 5 years, I'll give you the email address of the couple who I did the wedding for at that venue.
Mm.
Call them, mail them, ask them.
Mm.
And then that'll be insurance. And that's how confident I am to say, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Pre-shoots. I always...
Post-shoots.
But let's talk about pre-shoots first, because...
E-shoots, pre-shoots.
Yeah, pre-shoot or engagement shoots, e-shoots, whatever you
want
to call them.
They've got all
it.
Those names.
Yeah.
I think, personally, a couple of years ago when it started off, I thought it was just another way of making money. And then I found out everyone did it for free in their packages, and it didn't make sense because, you know, we all do exactly the same, but I'll throw in an extra shoot, although it might be half an hour. So, and I thought, you know, what a waste of time for me to drive somewhere, spend half an hour, drive back, edit, and so on. But now, in the last couple of years, my whole opinion has changed a lot, and I think it's one of the best things you can do to get to know your photographer. I mean, you pay a deposit, or if you don't want to pay a deposit, organize a shoot within a week or 2-3, pay for the shoot and get a feel of, is this the guy?
100%. I also always tell my clients that...
And or lady. Sorry,
I also just tell my clients that we don't get professionally photographed every day of our lives. We don't know how to pose and how to look and how, you know, you feel like you're all lovey-dovey and you look the way, whatever the case is. But, you know, somebody actually directs those shots. It's not just a given. So to have that engagement shoot, you almost get used to that kind of thing. I've had couples going, yo, if that was happening on the wedding day, they would have been a bit, like a bit tense because there's so much direction that you need. Pop your knee and all of those things.
I didn't realize it. We didn't have an engagement shoot because I knew Michael and I was like, oh, I know Michael. But it's just the, and I realized then on the day of the wedding, we should have had an engagement shoot. And I remember in one saying in my classes, you should whisper sweet nothings into the couples. They must whisper sweet nothings into each other's ear. But it was just so weird. Like, we were so uncomfortable because we've never been photographed like that before. But then I remembered Michael's words, and I think I think it was your assistant actually caught what I said in his through his lens. And it's very important to do that engagement shoot because you are so nervous with your partner.
You don't get photographed. You're just not used to it.
Yeah.
And then what do I wear? Because I find I find that people sometimes just think, oh, I'll go with t-shirt jeans, the girl will wear heels, and they'll call it a day. Why is it important to be conscious of what it is you're wearing to your engagement shoot? Or should I not be? Maybe I shouldn't even, maybe it's not a big deal.
Well, since you're doing a professional photo shoot, you should, respect it as that and dress up a little bit. We usually say people need to do their trial makeup on the day. Then you can actually see what it looks like being photographed as well. So if you don't like it, then you can still change it. But one thing I did want to mention before as well is the reason why I love e-shoots is because you can be quite personal with it. Mm. So if he loves playing golf, you can do a golf theme, or do a fun cooking lesson thing or whatever. And the thing is,
you get quite kinky.
And the other thing is, you always look so vain when you have your whole house full of wedding images. So if you actually have images of yourself in normal clothes, it looks a little bit less vain for me. So yeah. I love putting up regular clothes images on the wall that look really nice. So
100%.
I think also with the digital age, a lot of people are sending out invitations by email, and a lot of people are using those for the invitations.
Or their guest books and all of that.
So, I mean, coming back early on, I mean, your apparel is quite important. Yeah. There are people who want the jeans and t-shirt look, but the others who want to wear tuxedos.
Wow.
And beautiful evening dresses and great, really beautiful portfolio images out in the city or in the countryside. Mm. And it's a great benefit, and it just adds to the wedding day and the glamour as well.
100%. Mm. And then back to my question from earlier on, why would I do a post shoot? What is a post shoot? Like, why?
See, you call it a post shoot. I would call it something that's not in the traditional sense after the service before the reception.
Okay.
You can do it earlier on the day. That is one of my biggest advices, if I can call it that I'd like to give couples, is you have the whole day. You're getting married on the 20th of August. Use the day. Don't cram if your service time is at 4, don't cram everything in from 3 on, because it does not make sense. Stress levels, you lose out on a lot of things that you could be doing and having fun with. 10 o'clock that night, you'll go to your guest and your people or the photographer or whoever and say, oh, the day went past so quickly. Because everything was crammed in. And to me, I always say it's such a special moment when the groom and the bride see each other. You can still do it on the day. Do it in the forest. Do it in the chapel. Do it in the church. Do it wherever you like to do it, without the guest. Mm. And you have that moment where she walks down the aisle or you walk down to the aisle towards your bride. You just clear the whole room. No bridesmaids. Well, they can be in the corner if they like, but nobody else except the photographer or the video people, and even they have to be at a distance. And you create that moment where they see each other, and when she walks up to him or when they get together, the guy can actually walk around and say, "Baby, you look awesome." Mm-hmm. You know, and my emotions, I've been waiting for this, I've been waiting to see you and all that. Where as a norm, you would walk down, get to the front, and you schedule start. That spreadsheet you've been working on for months and years.
Yeah.
Will start,
yeah.
You know, the service walkout, the family photographs, the couple photographs. You have to walk in the speeches, and there's no time where it's your time. So I'm very keen on creating a time on the day, even if it's 20 minutes, half an hour, hour is always excellent, where you would get to be alone without any people. You can have the paparazzi on the side with a long lens, stealing
the
moment.
And just have the raw emotion.
But just have that moment where, and I've seen just about 99% of the guys cry twice.
Yeah.
When he sees her the first time and it's private, or when he sees her again walking down the aisle.
Okay. There's so much love in the air, You know, there is so much we've actually got to talk about. I've kind of realized that we've actually got to do this in a couple of podcasts, to be honest with you, because we have run out of time. So, until me, I think it was a great one.
No, it was really, really awesome. And I hope the people that are listening really do take into account everything that, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the half of it. It really is just the tip of the iceberg. But I think people got some valuable lessons, and they've got some things that they can think about now when approaching a photographer and thinking of booking a professional photographer for their wedding. Thank you again to Michael Tree, Patrick Furta, and Chanel for joining us on Wedding Central. Please keep up with the conversation on social media. Keep up with the hashtag Wedding Central, and check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks so much.
This is CliffCentral.com.